Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
To the Tamar Yonah Show here at Israel News Talk Radio. Today we're going to be talking about a few different things. One of them is going into the news field. What would a career in the news look like? How might it happen and what does it entail exactly? Well, ACE newscaster Hana Levy Julian joins me on the show and talks about her news career. I think you're going to find it very interesting. Also, a listener from the Netherlands wrote me and asked me what would happen to Israel if the left won the elections. So I'm going to be reading out his email and answering that question. And we're going to also be talking about some of the details that came out now again from the brutal killing of a 19-year-old beautiful girl that happened last month, who was stabbed to death, raped and stabbed to death by an Arab terrorist. The terrorist says now, and it came out to light, that he bought a skull cap or a kippah, a yarmulke. The terrorist said he bought a skull cap to make it easier to enter into Israel. And lastly, I want to read to you an article that was, it's called "No, Rabbi Kahana Was Not a Racist." And that was written by Rabbi Yehuda L. Oppenheimer. I went through most of that article. I'm going to finish it today with you, hopefully. I thought he brought up a lot of good points, and I wanted to arm you with that, because a lot of people are screaming at the right wing, you're with racists and you're with fanatics and extremists. And I propose that this is not true. And I'm going to read you why in this article. Don't forget, this is a live show that you can call in and join. You can also join me in the chat room. It is the orange button on the top of our webpage. Our phone numbers are also right next to that orange button. You can call into the show. You can join me on air. If you have any comments, questions, you want to agree, you want to disagree, it's fine. Call in. I'm with you today. You can do so. We'll be right back. Join me in the chat room.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Listening to the Tamar Yonah Show here at Israel News Talk Radio. About 3.5 years ago, back in 2015, the only radio station that existed in the English language coming out of Israel was called The Voice of Israel. It was highly funded, it paid phenomenal salaries to its staff, and had a state-of-the-art central studio in downtown Jerusalem. Yet, after almost exactly 1 year, the entire radio station collapsed. Needless to say, it was a shocker for everyone. It was then that I decided to go ahead and launch Israel News Talk Radio. How could it be, I asked myself, that Israel would not have even one radio station in the English language? I knew from living here for decades that when journalists, diplomats, and even tourists here in Israel wanted to get real news and programming about what was going on in Israel, they'd have to listen to news radio from Jordan. So instead of hearing a news story, let's say, about two terrorists who were shot by an IDF soldier, you would instead hear from Jordanian news, today, two Palestinian freedom fighters were shot by two Israeli occupation forces. I knew that we needed an English-speaking radio station here in Israel to go out to the world, to those who could not listen to the Hebrew stations, who didn't understand Hebrew. And so Israel News Talk Radio was launched. I knew that we would need a news team, and I had known Hannah Levy Julian from my days at Arut Sheva. We had both moved on since then, but we kept in touch. Hannah helped to form the INTR news team with me, and so she's been with INTR, Israel News Talk Radio, for over 3 years now. However, she is leaving, and with her last newscast being last Thursday, I wanted all of you to know more about Hannah and what it is to work in the news. And she's here with me now. Shalom, Hannah.
Shalom, Tamar.
So people are curious to know the woman behind the microphone that gave us the news these 3 years at Israel News Talk Radio.
Who I was on mic, on the news, basically is who I am not on the mic. There's not much difference. Basically, when I'm not on the microphone, I'm also looking for news. There's not much difference. My family goes a little crazy with me because if I am visiting in New York and my daughter is watching television, she gets a little crazy because I'll switch a channel to a newscast. I'll look for news.
You're a news
junkie. And
the same
thing goes here too. Yeah, I'm a news junkie. I can't help it. That's just
so
the way I am.
Tell us about that. When you were a little girl, did you think when you were a little girl, I want to grow up to be a newscaster, a news anchor, news writer?
Actually, no. Not at all. But that really did change in college. That changed once I got involved in news, because once I got involved in news, it became very clear that if you're going to be working in the field of news, you need to really know what's going on all the time. You can't walk away from it and then 6 or 8 hours or 20 hours later think that you're simply going to walk in and know what's going on, because inside of 20 hours the entire world can change. The whole
right.
world changes.
But I want to get personal with you, because people want to know, who is Hannah Levy Julian? So you went to college. What were you studying? Were you studying journalism then?
I didn't start out that way. I actually started out as a social work major, and then I went into mass communications, and then I walked into the college radio station, and all the jobs were taken except the job for the news department. And so I said, okay, fine, I will start in the news department. And they said, great. You're the news director. I said, good, okay, I'm the news director. That's wonderful. Except that I didn't know anything at all about news, and I had never written an article in my life. And so they said, well, figure it out, because you're it. And I said, oh, okay, that's good. So I went to the local radio station, which at the time was in New Haven, and it was WAVZ. And I went to the local news director there. I got an appointment. I went in and I said, hi, I've just been appointed the news director at the radio station at my college. And he said, great, congratulations. And how can I help you? And I said, I have no idea what to do. I don't know a thing about news. And maybe you can do something about that. And he just looked at me. And he thought about it for a second, and he said, well, that's quite interesting because we've just lost somebody here in the news department, so maybe you will become an intern, and I will teach you about news, but it means you're going to have to really, really dedicate yourself, and I'm not sure that you understand what that means. Well, as a matter of fact, he was right. He was an ex-Marine, and I had no idea what that meant, but I found out pretty quickly. It meant getting up at 4:30 in the morning and being in the newsroom by 5, making phone calls to every single solitary police station in a 50-mile radius and getting to know all of them.
What years are we talking
going
about?
Going out on the street by 7 o'clock in the morning and asking people what they thought of everything.
What years are we talking about? Because there was no internet then, but what years?
No, there wasn't. There was no internet, and there was no audio software. There was no electronic anything. And when you had to do a sound bite, it meant you were literally taking a razor blade and cutting tape, reel to reel tape, and you were splicing the audio together. And then taping it together.
So this was the 70s, the 80s, what?
This was in the early 70s.
Okay, so you're working for a real newsroom now. You're an intern. You have to call the police every day. They had time to talk with you to tell you what's gone down, what arrests they made, what anything.
They gave it to me in like 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And I had to write it down and get it all straight and write it into a news. You had to write a newscast every day. You had to write an entire newscast, and you had to get it done and on for a 2-minute newscast every 20 minutes.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it had to be accurate. And so, heaven help you if you didn't get it accurate.
So with all this hard work, how did you decide that this is what you want to do?
Because there was a truth to it. There was a real truth to it. There was a bare truth to it that didn't exist anywhere else. The politicians couldn't get past the journalists. The heads of the schools, the heads of anything could not get past journalists. Journalists kept everybody else honest. The news people were the ones who kept the rest of the world honest.
Did you get to pick your own stories, or were you told at the beginning of the day, you're going to cover this, you're going to cover that?
Oh, yeah. No, at the start, I was given assignments. I was given assignments for a very long time. For a very long time. The news director determined what you covered and how you covered. That did not change until I went to WELI in Hamden. And then I could pick one story a day or one project a week that I could work on for a special report.
So what are your future plans now? You are writing at the Jewish Press also.
That's right. That's right. I'm at the news website for jewishpress.com, and I will be continuing to do that. And I'm going to think about the next step. In addition to that, I'll probably do some freelancing, and I have some things I'm doing in New York as well. So I'm going to be working on those projects, and then we'll see. We'll see from there. I do an Israel news feed on Sundays for JM Sunday for the Nachum Segal Network, and beyond that, we'll see.
So people can hear you there. That's on Sundays, you said?
Yeah, that's on Sundays. That's 8 o'clock in the morning. On Sunday morning, but that's New York time. It's 3 o'clock Israel time.
All right. Well, listen, Hana, you have been with us at Israel News Talk Radio from the very beginning, when even before we launched, you became the news director, and all I can say is that we'll miss you very, very much, and you were wonderful, and we hope to have you on maybe in the future when something big happens and you have a lot of commentary, maybe you've written something on it, we'll be able to have you on again, and it has been my privilege to be able to work with you. You are a real professional, and I'm sure that everybody who heard your newscast, whether it was in Australia or in Portland, Oregon, or wherever they carry our news at Israel from Israel News Talk Radio, they're all going to miss you.
I think I will miss you as well, and I'm looking forward to doing something together in the future.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you so much.
All the best.
Be well.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back after the break.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Well, as you all know, I love hearing from you. When you are on the radio, you don't have a television audience in front of you. So we're speaking to a microphone. And when we get to hear from you listeners, when we get an email from you, when we see your comments left on the page where our podcasts are, when we see you, especially in the chat room while we are doing our live shows here, this is so gratifying to show hosts. And I want to encourage you all, when you do hear our shows, if you are listening live, to come on into the chat room. First of all, if you click on the chat room button, no one's going to see that you're there. You can see what's going on without anybody even knowing that you're there, because you have to sign in order to be able to type your comments and join us in the chat. But you will see the chat room. You'll see who's in there. You'll be able to see what's going on. All you need to do after that is to sign in either anonymously or with a middle name if you want, or with your Facebook or Twitter. And it really makes us show hosts feel good that you are listening to the show as we are broadcasting. And that way also, if you have any comments or questions, you can type them in there. If you're too shy to call in, you can also meet other people from around the world who are in the chat room, who are very friendly, who also love Israel, and you can make some friends. It's a lot of fun. And getting back to emails, we also enjoy those as well. And I wanted to share one with you that I got yesterday. I don't share all of my emails, of course, but this one I thought might be an interesting topic. And that is, this was from a listener in the Netherlands. And I don't know if he wants me to give his name or not, so I'm not going to say his name, but this is what he writes to me, basically. Hi, Tamar. So we are coming to visit Israel. Would it be too dramatic to say that this could be our last time before we are, quote, going down? He writes here, Holland and the rest of Europe, of course, is becoming a madhouse. No need for examples. One of the many, the connection of Jews with Jerusalem is erased from our school books. Interesting. So now with the change in Europe, with the massive Islamic immigration, with the pressure that they have to acquiesce to Islam, etc., and also to its own anti-Semitic roots Europe has, the connection now of Jews with Jerusalem is erased from their school books. He continues and says, the climate craze, quote-unquote, having such a fast pace here, is that normal people like us next year will have a lot of trouble getting onto a plane because they are going to tax travel so high. All for the quote-unquote climate. So this will be basically a climate tax he's talking about. For the rest of the population, it's already squeezed to the max in a lot of different ways. All the money is going to Brussels, of course, and of course, is going to Brussels because that's where the European Union sits. And he continues and says here, but being a critic on the climate hoax, he writes, or a critic on immigration can cost you your social media account. So he's saying that if you are going to be criticizing the climate control, he calls it a hoax, or being a critic on immigration, you can lose your social media account. He says it is actively kept out of the news by leftists and also the media. Slowly, he writes, we the citizens are becoming prisoners of the, quote, European state. But with my words, visit, where I said that we would visit Israel before we're going down, I read such alarming things, mainly Anna Rucheva. Unwillingly, the question creeps up in my mind, he writes, as who is going down first? What Israel will find after the 6th of April, I think he means after the elections, when the left wins, he's predicting, on top of that, the deal of the century, quote unquote, by Donald Trump, which means giving up land and uprooting and abandoning Israelis. So basically what he's saying here is that it's not only bad for Europe, but it's going to be bad for Israel. He believes a lot of these polls that say that the left is going to win and that Netanyahu is going to be out. And also with the deal of the century by Donald Trump, this is all bad news for Israel. Once again, he writes, Israel is on the brink of what? It sure looks dark in my view. And I'm going to read one more paragraph what he writes here. And I just want you to excuse any grammar mistakes. I want to keep this as precise as possible is what he wrote, because English is his second language. He continues and says, when Israel would die, I would die with it. That's my feeling deep inside. I must have some Jewish roots because day and night I'm occupied by it. Since the early 1980s, I am watching now many videos about Rabbi Kahana, Rabbi Meir Kahana, and it's amazing. I remember in 1985, I was reading the Jerusalem Post, and he was always portrayed as a violent extremist. Now I am watching videos about him or from him that he is speaking there himself. And I must say, Shifra Hoffman, your regular Sunday guest, is right. Can you please elaborate this on your show? That's what he's asking me. Blessings and shalom. That's from the Netherlands, a listener from the Netherlands. So I want to respond to this, and I want to share my experience of living in Israel for so many years and for several decades already. And that is that the threat of the left and the threat that things are going to be very, very bad here in Israel. Things can get very bad in Israel. It could happen. However, number one, I believe in the Tanakh, the Torah, the Bible, that we all know that in the end of the story, Israel is going to come out winning. It's a good news ending. It's going to be a good, happily ever after type of ending. God is not going to let Israel fall. That is my deep and sincere belief. And he has plans and things will happen. It also depends on how we act and react. And we may have a little bit more pain as we reach towards the final, you know, good news ending, or we might have less pain depending on the choices we make. But let's say that the left wins. Let's say that we have more pain. And I want to say that there are a couple of things that the left wins. Number one, I have lived here through several administrations in Israel. I've lived through easily Begin, but we won't count him because he didn't threaten to throw Jews out of their homes in Judea and Samaria. However, it did happen in the Sinai. It was a terrible thing. We won't go into that right now. But I've lived through also after that Perez and I should say Rabin, Perez, Ehud Barak, Ehud Olmert. And then, of course, there's Bibi Netanyahu, which we won't talk about right now either, but just those Rabin, Peres, Ehud Barak, Ehud Olmert, Sharon as well, all of them said that we were going to be, we would have to make sacrifices for peace, and that the Jews would be thrown out of their homes here in Judea and Samaria. Actually, it did happen in northern Samaria, a few settlements. That was under Sharon. That is against what the people wanted, though. There was a referendum, and the people voted, do not give up these areas to the Palestinian Authority. He went against what the people said, but that's another story. But I personally have been threatened. I shouldn't say personally, but I've lived through the times when they said that we were going to be thrown out of our homes. And I have to say, I am still in my home, thank God, and they're all out of office. So God man plans, God laughs. That's number one. Number two, sometimes it is not the end of the world if the left should win. Left has won before. The left was run by, Israel was run by the left for so many years, and we're still here, right? But when the left goes up, if that should happen, which is not a good thing in my opinion, but if it should happen, there should be, and will be, I imagine, a very strong right-wing opposition that will police the left, that will not let them get through all of the terrible things they want to get through, that they want to push through. And let's take Oslo for a moment. When the left wanted to bring us Oslo under Rabin and Peres, they had to get these Oslo 1, Oslo 2, I don't remember even which it was, they had to bribe Knesset members in the center right in order to come over. And they only won after bribing these, especially two people from the Tzomet Party under Raful Eitan. They promised him a Mitsubishi and a government position, a ministry. They still only won by a one majority vote. They won by, I think if I'm not mistaken, it was 61 votes out of 120. That's a majority of one. The left could barely get it through. And in order to get it through, they had to bribe people who could be bought off on the center right. So it is not the end of the world. Israel will still be here. We are only growing and expanding and making new discoveries and inventions. And it's a good news story for Israel. So I don't think you need to worry that Israel is not going to exist, that there won't be a place for you to come and visit. We are here. I'm here. A lot of us are here. Millions of us are here. And we have an army, and we have God, and we have patriots here, and we have a majority here. I don't think you need to worry. All right, when we get back, I'm going to read you some more news and a little bit about Rabbi Kahana.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. And I want to read to you a couple of articles here, very important, I believe. One is that new news has come out on the terrible, brutal murder that took place last month of a 19-year-old girl who was killed by a terrorist. Let me just read to you this. This is from World Israel News Staff. It says here that the the murderer, the terrorist, Arafat Irfaya, told investigators that he did not plan much of the attack that he made on Ori Ansbacher. He said he did not plan much of the attack in advance, aside from purchasing a skull cap so he could slip into Israel undetected. This is what Channel 12 News reported. They write here. He says, quote, I bought the yarmulke 2 years earlier. Sorry, 2 weeks earlier, so I could enter Israel without being suspected or identified as an illegal resident, Irfaya reportedly told investigators, adding that he did not tell anyone else of his plans in advance. I left my home to kill a Jew due to the occupation and treatment of Arabs at checkpoints, he reportedly said. You know, the checkpoints that he has to go through, I would have to go through as well. Every single Jew or Israeli that goes through these places has to go through checkpoints. I have to wait in long, trafficy lines to go through checkpoints and get checked. Nothing is different between Arabs and Jews. In fact, somebody could argue, this would never happen, that the Jews could go kill the Arabs because we're tired of being humiliated at checkpoints too. That's not an excuse to kill people. Back to the article. According to the report, Irfaya told investigators that he met Ansbacher, her name was Ori Ansbacher, 19 years old, by chance in a forested area close to Jerusalem where she was sitting on a rock writing in a notebook. Well, according to him, she deserves to be killed. She's sitting on a rock peacefully writing in her notebook. She used to write poetry, by the way. Arafat Irfaya reportedly said he stabbed Ansbacher 3 times and dragged her as she tried to resist. He then stabbed her further before gagging her with her scarf and binding her hands. The suspect said that after the attack, he took Ansbacher's cell phone and destroyed the memory card. He's a pretty smart terrorist. I wouldn't know how to open up a phone and destroy the memory card. At that point, he took a taxi, which eventually took him to the Ramallah area. By the way, Ramallah, under the Palestinian Authority, under Mahmoud Abbas, under the man that pays for slay, Ramallah, the place that is a safe haven for terrorists. That's my insert. That's where he went. Nothing about his escape route was planned, he said. After he hid the knife, which was later found among bags of cement near the mosque in which he was hiding, he was found by Israeli counterterror officers. Last month, the Shin Bet Security Service announced that the murder was a terror attack, saying that Arafat Irfaya reenacted the murder of Ansbacher in front of interrogators and implicated himself definitively in the incident. The suspect reportedly told interrogators that he entered Israel and looked for a Jewish victim because he wanted to be a martyr. Quote, I entered Israel with a knife because I wanted to become a martyr and murder a Jew, he reportedly said. I met the girl by chance. Channel 13 News reported that Irfaya was arrested in 2017, that's 2 years ago, at the entrance to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, armed with a large kitchen knife, and had indicated that if released from jail, he would come back here with a knife. Additional details regarding the investigation remain under a gag order. That means that there were worse things that were happening to her. We won't talk about it now. It's under a gag order still. I want to read you an article, as much of it as I can. It was from the Jewish press. I urge you all to go there. It's called No, Rabbi Kahana Was Not a Racist by Rabbi Yehuda L. Oppenheimer. And one of the excerpts he says here, which I want you to really absorb here, is he writes, I find it amazing how much people distort the views of Rabbi Meir Kahana, Hashem Yinkom Damo, I won't even translate that. It is my experience that the vast majority of those who find Rabbi Kahana's beliefs abhorrent, have one, never actually read his books, two, tend to be liberal in their outlook to the extent that they are uncomfortable with Torah concepts that conflict with Western liberal values, and three, are afraid of the political power Kahana represents. These are three important things he put down. I thought they were very, very good. Most people never actually read his books. Two, their liberal thinking and outlook doesn't jive with what Torah says. And anybody who studied Torah knows that Torah is just and had brought light and justice to this world in a world that it was where might made right, where there was so much evil going on. And when the Torah came out, it brought morality, kindness, mercy to the world. But they probably, just if they haven't read Rabbi Kahana's books, they probably haven't read the Torah either. And three, they're afraid of the political power Kahana represents. Let me tell you why also they're afraid. They're also afraid because people who have idealism, people who follow Kahana, Rabbi Kahana's, what he has said, they cannot be bought off so easily. They're inspired. They believe in this. And so you can't buy them off. Let me read you this article. He says here, I have learned that writing about political matters is a thankless and usually purposeless task. People are so entrenched in their biases and opinions that they are almost never willing to hear what the other side has to say. By the way, I watch Al Jazeera. I like to see what the other side has to say. Nevertheless, he continues, I would like to comment briefly on the current brouhaha surrounding the Otzma Yehudit party and the nearly universal strident condemnation of Prime Minister Netanyahu for helping broker a deal that will likely result in that party receiving one or two seats in the upcoming election, which will help Likud form a coalition. According to media reports, the American Jewish community deems Otzma Yehudit, which means Otzma Yehudit is Jewish power, they deem it racist, fascist, and other lovely terms. In Israel, too, many have used the same epithets, with one prominent leftist rabbi, Benny Lau, going so far as to say that a vote for Otzma Yehudit is to vote for Nazism. That's what he writes here. I find it amazing how much people distort the views of Rabbi Meir Kahana. May God avenge his blood. It is my experience that the vast majority of those who find Rabbi Kahana's beliefs abhorrent have, as I said, one, never actually read his books. Two, tend to be liberal in their outlook to the extent that they are uncomfortable with Torah concepts that conflict with Western liberal values. And three, are afraid of the political power Kahana represents. I just want to stop here again and remind you that people who cannot be bought off are very dangerous people. You can't control them because they're going to do what their moral compass tells them to do. You can't bribe them with a position, a ministerial position, or with money, or with vacations, or with a Swiss bank account. They're dangerous people. Let me go on. He says here, this short article is not the place to argue the merits of Rabbi Kahana's ideas. Personally, I agree with at least 90% of what he had to say, although I believe some of his statements, particularly toward the end of his too short life, were too extreme and in the tone in which he said them was too harsh. I ascribe this tone and extremism to the bitterness he felt in being unfairly undercut and destroyed by his political enemies who were afraid of his growing popularity. I would encourage any fair-minded person to actually read his books, the two most important of which, in my opinion, are Never Again and Why Be Jewish. I promise it's worth your time. Even if you end up disagreeing with him, you will at least come away impressed by the power of his arguments. Those who oppose Rabbi Kahana remind me of the mindless absolute rejection of President Trump by virtually the same groups that are vilifying Otzma Yehudit, the Jewish Power Party. In both cases, haters pick up on half-truths, which they distort and twist in order to vilify and politically murder their political opponent. Truth is irrelevant for them. For example, both Rabbi Kahana and President Trump have been accused of being racist. In the case of Rabbi Kahana, critics point to his calls to drive the Arabs out of Israel. As for the president, critics point to his statement that there were good people on both sides of the Charlottesville debacle and his strong stance against illegal aliens. You know, I don't have time to read the rest of this, but I want you to understand I just read you a story of a horrific terrorist murder and why Rabbi Kahana said we have to remove the Arabs from Israel. The Torah says so, that they are going to be pins in our eyes and needles in our sides. We have to listen to the Torah, and the good Arabs can stay. Think about it. Write me your thoughts.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.